So just a quick reminder, hopefully we have not too much fallout by changing to a Thursday, but that was the request. And so we know it's tough, especially for sub makers, to jump on a call and find a good time. And that's why we like the recordings, so we can kind of continue on. But remember, the purpose of this whole thing is not just to examine our own selves and see if we can become better versions, but also how are we going to teach this to our teams? How can you be a mentor to others? A formal program, and this is just one example. So usually you have to kind of live it before we give it. So the votes are in. We voted for the habits. That we all should have watched the habits. We did have a little fallout in that regard, because some did go to the seven C's of coaching instead of the seven habits. So kind of a fun lesson there. I did get some nice picks on the C's, but we are on the habits, and the votes are in. But first, you know, this is the first, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. Well, guess what? In case you haven't counted out, when you have a four-year-old, you have to count these things out. It's 12 days. Mm-hmm. People, it's 12 days. What is your true love going to give to you? So don't sing any songs right now, please. But in that spirit, you know, it's about the kids. We talked about all the stuff we're doing for our kids. And so in that spirit, I have a quick opener here because, you know, we have most of us know kids, have kids. We're going to be around kids. But, you know, the kids usually believe. I'm not sure what year they don't, and they start not believing, but there's a story about little Billy, you see, and little Billy really wanted a bicycle pretty badly. Apparently, Billy had fallen out of the club of believers, but he was telling his mom, working his mom pretty hard, you know how these go, and, you know, he said, "Mom, I really want this bike. I need a bike." And she said, "Okay, well, Billy, what?" She said, "Mom, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up in my room, and I'm going to pray for that bike." And she said, "All right, Billy, if you think that's what you need to do, you know, you do that." And so she's in the kitchen, Billy goes up, and all you can hear is Billy shouting, "God," at the top of his voice, "God, I need a bicycle. I know you can hear me. Please, please, God, you know I need the bicycle. Please give me the bicycle." And his mom kind of shouts up and says, "Billy, Billy, you know, God's not deaf." And Billy said, "I know, Mom, but Grandma is." So you know how sometimes the kids know how to work everything there with at any rate, you know, just a note, you know, how are we going to slow down and enjoy this this holiday? You got 12 days now, so let's be a little proactive, shall we? But the actual habit that had the most votes out of our clan here was habit number 7. And we're going to focus in on habit 7. We have in the past, but we're going to dig down a little bit deeper and just see really what it means, because, you know, it is that renewal, the habit of balance. If you go on the website, which I'm going to refer to you later, you're going to even see just a slide. It's one of my favorite slides that Chris Stripto helped me make. It's an action slide, sharpen the saw. And if you're looking at it, you see the body, the mind, the soul, and the heart. And so let's just kind of dig in. You know, it really was no surprise that this one was picked, but I'm kind of excited to know that we're understanding this at this point in our careers here, that we do have to take care of ourselves. And really, that's the whole point of this, is who's taking care of you, and how are we doing that? We all have the knowledge. We all kind of know what we have to do, but how do we apply it? Remember, wisdom is useless. Knowledge is useless unless we apply it. And so how do we do that? How do we trade in some of that screen time that we talked about last week for some quality time? And I just want to make a point here right off that it's not selfish to take care of yourself. You know, sometimes people feel guilty about that. When I hear somebody saying, "Oh, I'm going to the pedicure, I'm going to get a massage," I'm excited to hear things like that, because we have to factor those in. But let's just start with the mind. And, you know, if you look at the mind, I'm always, you know, I could probably give you 100 quotes on how we have to protect the mind. And there's, you see little books around the desk here, one of my favorite little books from the 1800s, "As a Man Thinketh, So He Is." But, you know, the monks would call it the thought life. So when you were talking about your mind, they wanted to make it even more organic by saying that's the thought life. Make it real. And, you know, what they would say is, you know, what are you meditating on? Are you meditating on important things? And we've heard these things before, but let's just talk about how are we going to start getting people to read. And so recently my good man John Hughes was showing me a blog, and this expert was telling us 100 reasons why we need to read books. And it was like, you know, that's great. I can give you 1,000, but what we need to, how do we do it? How do we actually apply? We know we have to read books. How do we do it? And right now, you know, after learning a little bit more about the publishing end of things this year, right now the trend is audiobooks. And if you think about it, you know, we don't have time. We don't have money. Audiobooks are probably the cheapest form to go right now. I've been trying it lately. I finished up the Springsteen book, and I was taking rides just in the car just so I could listen to the book, which is kind of silly. But, you know, that's one little area. How can we get developing our minds? And we know that reading and writing are two big ones. Writing, how do we find that 10 minutes? Last week we said, you know, we have to schedule it into our schedule. We have to put it in. It's not going to miraculously occur that you have 10 minutes that you can spend time writing down your thoughts, reflecting, you know, creating a poem. Chunks of 10 minutes really actually work. And that's what we're seeing with all the millennials. You see the quick hits, the 2-minute videos, the 5-minute videos, that's it. And that's another category. You know, are we factoring in some mind development through YouTube, through video, through, for me, it's TED Talks. And, you know, what are we doing? How can we apply? And the final one in this category I just want to point out is there's so many motivational apps right now that you can dial into, most free, and they can, again, you can get overwhelmed. Pick one or two if you don't have one already. I have tuned into the Motivate app only because Rich Hope, our marketing CEO, FO, has, you know, his son developed this app. And so there's tons of them out there. Make it a habit to get one or two that you can fill your brain with other things than the boob tube, as we used to call it. And then finally on this thought, you know, we know that the number one thing that develops the mind is memorizing stuff. And the researchers tell us this. You've heard me, most of you here, talk about that. And so first part of the homework, I'm going to direct you to the website, the Keith Hertling website, and there is a lovely little video there on the habits. And that was helped created by Andrew here in our department. Love the guy. Just got to take his baby home from the hospital, if you didn't know. But memorizing stuff, there's a little habit video in there on how we do that. So check that out. That's first part of our homework, and you're going to see what we're going to do with that. So let's jump over to the body while we have Steve Capestro here. I'm looking at the body Capestro right now. And everybody knows we have to work out. Everybody knows we have to eat right. And we do know that it's probably the hardest thing that we have to do. I spent 20 years of my life teaching people how to eat, and I don't know if I'm a failure or not, but I can tell you in this category, the most misunderstood component of the whole fitness model is recovery. And that's where I want to spend a couple minutes here. When we say recovery, what are we meaning by that? And probably just in the last few days, I've heard a handful of people tell me how exhausted they are. And here we go. I mean, we're in the 12 days of Christmas, and people are exhausted already. God bless these guys, because it's going to be rough. And we know it's a taxing time going into these. You know, we already know, we talked about how our burnout rate is second only to the gold mines in Nigeria, where people actually die. You know, we're not dying, but we're certainly not living when we burn out. And so, you know, what else can we do? And we look and say, well, somebody just got me a massage for my birthday. Well, you know what? That's a great present. What presents can we give our people? I don't know if anybody's taken a cool plunge in the ocean. That's for free. I won't go that far. But we have float tanks now. We have all kinds of studios for that. I've bought many certificates for my people to try those out. I just found one on Groupon, so I bought a couple. And, you know, that float tank is like a spa day. Do some research there. But that's the recovery phase. That's, well, how am I taking care of me? I keep one in my pocket because I know if I get a red eye, I'm going to have to schedule one of those. You know, even whirlpools, hot tub, what can we do to relax? And it may be 10 minutes. It may be 15 minutes. If it's an hour, great. But the number one area where we are in big trouble with is sleep. And you can pick up almost any fitness magazine and talk about how if we're not getting enough sleep, we're in big trouble. And yet we have, you know, managers that are zombies and they're just sleep deprived. And I can tell you through experience, I was actually recruited out of college to go to SEAL training camp. Everybody knows Navy SEALs, and, you know, I'm a tough guy. I'm going to go. And I qualified, you know, physically, went and took all the tests. And, you know, I never went. Football was my thing. Had really no intent to. But quick story, years later, I actually go in a workshop with my fitness team, and we qualified to go for a week in Coronado, a week's worth of, you know, normally the SEALs are going 6 months. This is a week camp, and I can tell you, I went in there with no one's going to put me, no, I'm never ringing a bell, there's nobody, but what put me down, and put me down hard, was being sleep deprived. And, you know, you don't really understand what that does to you. I was just talking to an old buddy last night who was talking about how he was at work, and he was just in a daze, and he had to figure out he had to leave because he was sleep deprived. But you try going several days without sleep, and you're going to fall asleep in your mashed potatoes. This is what happened. But, you know, so we really have to understand that sleep is important. How do we get these regular habits together? And some of you young parents that are coming through, you better figure that one out. And so please, you know, schedule the schedule. I know some guys have said they want to figure out how to schedule to wake up at the same time, to go to bed at the same time. But you got to get the right amount of sleep. Maybe it's 6 hours for you. Most of the research says no, it's more than that. So that's the point. And so as we go around our habits, sharpen the saw, the soul comes up. And, you know, the first things I think about the soul is meditation. I think of prayer. And we all know we're supposed to do that. If you want to create a mindset of a monk, one of my favorite Benedictine rules is Latin, ora et labora. Work is prayer. If you can figure out in that brain how work might be a prayer, I think you've got a great advantage. And it's kind of a virtuous understanding of what we're doing. We know we want to be better versions of ourselves, but what are we doing to change the world? One at a time. And it starts at work. That's where we're spending a big chunk of our time. Ora et labora. And as we go around the clock here, you see the last little habit here under the guise of the sharpening the saw, the balance, is the heart. And we left that one because I think it's the biggest chunk of what we need to look at. And really when we say the heart, we're talking about relationships. We've talked many times about how if we're isolated, bad things happen to our health, clinical depression, being hospitalized. We're not designed to be isolated. We're designed to have relationships with other people. And it's an old proverb from the heart, with all vigilance, guard your hearts, for in it all life exists. This is where everything starts. Everything starts in the heart. And that's actually the second part of our homework. So if you go on the website and do a little fishing, you're going to see under reflections, there is a little reflection on everything starts with the heart. And so the assignment's going to be, check that out. You're going to read that little reflection. It might do something for you. But the point is, you're going to write a small reflection yourself on how the heart and what the heart means to you. It could be just a few sentences. Could be a paragraph. Could be a poem. Could be anything that you spend a little time. And when we, you know, what are we looking at? When we say the heart, we're assuming it's associated with love. And that's that four-letter word that we have to use more often in our stores and in our lives. And when we're in our stores, that's why we say heart of a coach, heart of a teacher. What does that actually mean, heart of a coach, heart of a teacher? It means love. It means putting others first. It means listening with a different ear to others. Having a little self-control when we're in the pits with our people. I had a gal just last night say, Keith, I need a copy of your book. I need to give it to the basketball coach. He's nuts. He's screaming at our people. He's demeaning. He's, in, you know, it's like, well, I don't know if a book is going to help him. But nonetheless, you know, that's what we have to look at is what is the heart of a coach, heart of a teacher, Everything starts in the heart. And that's actually our next lesson. Lesson number 3 will be entitled, What is a Hearing Heart? So we're going to move on to that. What is a hearing heart? And that's the second part of our homework, again, is that looking at in the website, everything starts with the heart. So we know we're going to look at a little habits video, a couple of minutes, and then a short assignment. And our quote, as we say, we're going to give you a quote every week. This one happened to come in and kind of hit us. We talked about it in our group. Listening is an act of leadership. We're going to be talking about listening from here on out, but listening is an act of leadership. We all kind of chuckled on that one. So, habit number 7, probably the most important. We're going to rotate back into somewhere in the course here, habit number 2, which was our second vote. We have enough operation guys, I think, that understand what that one is. So we'll dig into habit number 2. But again, the habits are a great resource. We want to use them whenever we can. And once we start living them, they become real. So we are going to skip the next 2 weeks, mostly because we're going right through the Christmas crunch. And we're going to pick up the third lesson January 3rd. So if you're on the call and you see, you know, you're scheduling January 3rd, same time, 2:30. And I'd like to just finish by reading a poem. Actually, I'm going to see if I can. I've just recently found a poem I love called Show Me. Steve, you think I can memorize it?
I do.
I still got to work on it. But here's a little poem I'm going to finish things up with. I'd like to see a sermon, rather hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all examples are the ones that live their creeds. For to see the good in action is what everyone needs. And the lectures you deliver may be wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. That old example. And I lied. I still want to tell you one more quick story. I think I have one more minute. And this was actually from one of our guys who reminded me of this story this morning at our training center of Indian culture named Vivek, one of our newest franchisees. We're talking about Gandhi. And there's a legendary story about Gandhi who people would come to see him. He would camp out on a local mountain in a city in India. People would take a pilgrimage and go from far away to come and talk to Gandhi. And there's the legendary story. There was a woman who had her son whose teeth were rotting out. And so she finally waited. It took her a day to get there. She waited in line for a long time, and she got finally to get into the tent with Gandhi, and she said, Gandhi, please tell my son to stop eating sugar. He's rotting his teeth, and it's no good for his health. And he looked at her and said, Woman, I will tell you your son this when you come back next week. And she said, Gandhi, I this is hard for me to come. She's come back in a week. So she went away. Lo and behold, the next week she showed up, and she got back in the tent and said, Gandhi, can you please tell my son should not be eating sugar. It's rotting his teeth. And he looked at the son and said, Son, you must listen to your mother and not eat sugar. It's no good for your health, and it's rotting your teeth. And so as she was leaving the tent, she said, Gandhi, why couldn't you tell me that last week? And he simply looked at her and said, Well, last week I was still eating sugar myself. And, you know, we want to be good teachers. We want to be good stewards. We have to be able to do these things before we can teach them. And so this one's an important one, Habit 7. It's we've got to put some time into it. So please do that. Except. I'm going to ask one more thing, and that's going to be a big one here. If you're channel surfing Saturday night, ESPN3, you will see Benedictine in the finals of the national championships. I'll be in that crowd, and I'll be doing backflips and cartwheels because that's the old alma mater. So down in Daytona Beach. So if you just happen to tune in for a moment, Let's see what we're doing. We're playing the number one team in the country, so we're going to need some help. So that, thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you next year, January 3rd.
Thank you.